Good morning, everyone. I thank the Lord that we can gather through technology to worship the Lord this morning. As Mike keeps reminding us, the Church of Jesus Christ is not a building. It is us, we the people who trust in the Lord for salvation. We are the Church, and the Lord is with each and every one of us, and so we are united. We are one in Christ. Though, of course, I cannot wait until we can gather together again and worship physically in each other's presence also. May the Lord be gracious to each and every one of you in this time of the coronavirus and this pandemic. May God's love and sustaining power fill and surround each and every one of us. Let's turn to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we want to know You, and we want to live in You and for You. We want to walk in deep, abiding relationship with You, Jesus, lover of our souls. We pray, O Lord God, now, as we turn to Your Word, that You, Lord, would speak through Your Holy Spirit into our souls, into our minds, our bodies even, and our hearts, O Lord God, that You would come and shape us and form us, that You would fill us with faith, saving faith, O God. You would strengthen us where we are weak. That we, even in this time this morning, Lord, through Your Scriptures, would know that You are with us. Come now, we pray, and we pray in the name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning, Lord willing, we will finish the book of 1 John. That is the intention here. And then, again, Lord willing, next week we will go on and we will, they're very short, so probably one sermon each week. Over the next 2 weeks, we'll look at 2 John and 3 John. There's some very, very similar themes throughout them. So, again, the Apostle John, Lord willing, will be reinforcing these great truths that he has been teaching us. In this morning's passage, he summarizes the book and lets us know the purpose for his writing of this letter. He comes out and just says it plainly in the first verse of our passage this morning, which, if you want to flip ahead, is 1 John chapter 5, beginning in verse 13. And then he goes on to give us and explain to us some of the blessings, the benefits of being born again, of what we experience now that we are saved and having been saved by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Some of the blessings of our salvation. So would you please follow along as I read from 1 John chapter 5, verses 13 to 21. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death. There is a sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. This is God's Word. The blessings of being saved, the blessings of God's salvation by His grace through faith in Jesus Christ, His Son, fully God, fully man, dying on the cross in our place, paying for our sins, which are death, but rising again from the grave, rising from the dead, because death cannot hold Him, and ascending to the right hand of the Father, promises to return to us and gather His people home with Him, where we will dwell with Him eternally. God's salvation to us. But even now, here on earth, in this phase of God's kingdom, in this part of God's kingdom, we experience the blessings. We experience transformation, slow though it often is. We experience that transformation, those blessings of God and His kingdom. First thing John wants to say, as I've stated a moment ago, is he wants us to know why he's writing. What's the purpose of this letter? And he says it right in verse 13, our first verse. And he says, he writes this to know that we have eternal life. That we would know that we have eternal life. Now, he's writing not just to everyone in the world. He's very specific. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. He's writing to believers here. The purpose, the main purpose of the book, of the letter, he knows that others will eventually read it who are not believers, but here the desire is that those who are born again would know that we have eternal life. I know for some of us that's a very difficult thing that we often kind of wrestle with and question our salvation. Especially in times when we're suffering greatly. It's interesting, usually when we are deeply sinning as believers are not so much the time that we question our salvation. You'd think that would be the appropriate time to question if we're really saved, if we go on sinning. But it tends to be the times when it feels like God is far away that we can fall into questioning our salvation. Where is God? This is nothing new for the people of God. David cries that out in the Psalms. For example, Psalm 13. How long, O Lord? He continues to cry out to God day and night and doesn't hear an answer from God. Feels like God is far away. Well, John wants our confidence to rest not upon how we feel, but upon the truths, the absolute truths of who Jesus is. That when we believe in Jesus Christ, that He is the Son of God, that we would know we have eternal life. And we've been talking about this for weeks and weeks and weeks. That's where all his passages have been talking about. And he summarizes that here in verse 13. But now he's going to go on and speak to the blessings of our salvation. Some of the benefits that we have as those who are born again by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And the first one he mentions or speaks to is that we have a new assurance in our prayer. A new assurance when we pray. Verses 14 through 17. He says in verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have towards Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. What a blessing to know that always God hears us. Always God is listening to us. always, God knows our hearts. He is never too busy. No concern is ever too small. He is never so in a state of frustration towards us where He turns His back and won't listen to us anymore. We as parents often are bad models at that. We've all, easier to see it in someone else than ourselves probably, but we've all driven down the road and saw a child waiting for the bus while their parent was busily swiping through their phone instead of engaging a child. Or we've all seen it when our own children at times have asked us a question and they keep calling our name and we're distracted by something and not listening. That is never the case with God. He always hears our prayers, our concerns, even our groanings. He hears. And John goes on to say, if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests that we have asked of Him. Now, this is not the kind of situation where God is just a genie, where He grants us our wishes. Where if we just, you know, rub the Bible, then we get a spirit to pop out and grant us some wishes. That's not how the Lord works. And in fact, if He did, it would not be loving. And it may seem like that'd be great to get everything that we would pray about, everything we want. If we would just get everything we want, boy, wouldn't we then be happy? Again, I think as parents we know that that's not the case. That's not where true happiness lies, in just giving your children everything that they want. And we, just like children, have wants and desires that are not a blessing to us. And so John reminds us here, back in verse 14, that when we're praying, we have confidence that He hears us. Yes, we have confidence, as he says in verse 15, that we know that we have the request, whatever we ask of Him, but when we ask anything according to His will. And that's not a magic phrase you tack on at the end of your prayer. But when we are in sync with God, when we are praying according to His will, when our desires line up, God is always happy to grant them, always willing to grant our requests to Him. We come to know the will of God through the Scriptures. We come to know the will of God through walking with Him and growing more and more to His likeness as the Holy Spirit comes and works within us, conforming not just our hearts, but our prayers also, according to the will of God. And yet our Father is gracious. He is so kind. He does not get mad at us when we pray for something that is not according to His will, or if we're confused by something in the moment and don't know what His will may be in a certain area. No, He's not frustrated with us, not disappointed in us. He's not sick of us praying the same thing again for years and years and years that may not be according to His will. No. He loves you. He cares for you. He knows your heart and your desires, and yet, because He is a good Father, continues to give us what is best for us, even if, and especially when, we don't understand. And so we approach God in confidence, not fearing that He's going to ignore us, not fearing that He's going to be angry with us, not fearing that He's going to give us something that is bad for us, so we have to word it just right in our prayers. No, we come with confidence because our Father loves us. And we know we have our requests. Secondly, John writes, the blessings of salvation, not only a new assurance in prayer, but also a new aversion to sin. A new rejection of sin. In verse 18, Oh, sorry. I skipped over the hardest part of the whole passage. Sorry about that. I didn't mean to skip over 16 and 17. 16 and 17 are really difficult passages here. It says that we are to pray for one another, then that same confidence that we have, because we know we are born again, we know that God loves us, and because we love God, we pray for one another, even one another when we sin. But then he refers to this thing here of saying there is a sin that leads to death. There is a sin that leads to death. And we always get very, very nervous about this. Jesus spoke a lot more about this in Matthew chapter 12, where he calls it there, blaspheming the Holy Spirit. It says, for this there is no forgiveness. And when you look at that in the context of both this passage here and in the Matthew 12 passage, we see that he's talking about there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of the evil one, the evil kingdom, and the kingdom of God. And all sins will be forgiven except rejecting Christ. The sin that leads to death is to not believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. To reject God completely. And for your entire life. That is the sin that leads to death. Another way of saying it is we're all dead. We all are born into sin. But when we believe in Jesus Christ, we are born again. To not come into life is to stay in death. To reject Jesus as our Savior. Doesn't mean we shouldn't pray for people who aren't yet born again. We do not know. The Lord alone knows what His will is. And so we pray earnestly for non-believers. We share the gospel with them earnestly, and we watch God move their hearts and change their hearts, just as He did for ours, by God's grace, not because we're better than anybody. Oftentimes we're worse than most. But then God works, and we are to pray for one another. Well, the second blessing of salvation is, as I mentioned a moment ago, a new aversion to sin. Verse 18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We learn so much here about the blessings of salvation. One of the blessings that we have of salvation. One is that we are no longer slaves to sin. Before we are born again, we cannot stop sinning. We are slaves. We are trapped. We are like, to borrow and slightly tweak an image from Jonathan Edwards, we're like a bird with a broken wing. Sure, you're free to fly, but you can't. There is no possible way for that bird to fly, though there is nothing externally keeping it down. We are slaves to sin. But when we are born again, the power of sin is broken over us. And by God's grace, we can walk in faithfulness, in holiness to the Lord. Now pause. Your question might be at that point, well, does that mean that I never sin? If it says we don't keep on sinning, does that mean that I never sin? We know that is not the case. According to John's own words in his letter here, in the book of 1 John, he says, if we say we are without sin, we lie. But he breaks the power of canceled sin within us. That we are no longer its slaves. It is no longer master over us. That we can repent. We can turn from our sins and follow Christ faithfully. And when we discover that we sin again in 5 minutes or 5 hours or whenever, we come again humbly confessing our sins, knowing that Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins when we come to Him seeking forgiveness. The blessings of salvation, a new assurance in prayer, a new aversion to sin, and also a new understanding of the world. Verse 19, we know that we are from God. Rest in that, child of God. Rest in that relationship. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. When we are born again, we come to see and come to learn that there is evil at work around us. That people display goodness at times by God's common grace. As He says, He is gracious to all. His rain falls upon the just and the unjust. But that there is a wickedness at work in the world. We rejoice when we see God in His grace overcome that even just a little bit, but that is the work of God. And we know that the things of this world, that the evil one is at work and desires to weaken us, distract us, to bring us down. But oh, He cannot have victory. Christ alone has victory in our hearts and over us and over our lives, both now and all eternity, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ. But we come to know that we are in battle. We cannot just accept everything from the world as though it were of God. That we are in a position of warfare. I know that those images are often overused. That is one of the descriptions that God gives for us, Ephesians chapter 6, when He says, put on the full armor of God. Why? So we can stand in the evil day. We can stand against the enemy of our souls. Not our own strength, not our own armor, not our own power, but by God's grace. By the character and nature of God inhabiting and indwelling within us. We understand that there is a battle raging in the world. And we know that we are from God. The blessings of salvation, a new assurance in prayer, a new aversion to sin, a new understanding of the world, and fourth and finally, a new awareness of God. A new opening up of to the presence of God and of who He is and who His nature is. Verses 20 and 21. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding. It's part of the work of the Holy Spirit that we reflected on last week. That the Spirit, when He comes, He brings truth to us. He opens our eyes to the truth of who God, who Christ is. Through His Word, through His own testimony, He's given us understanding so that, here's the purpose. The Holy Spirit has given us understanding so that, there's a reason for that, so that we may know Him who is true in His Son, Jesus Christ. For those of you who are in relationships. Hopefully we all are in different relationships in different ways. When you first meet someone, you don't really know them at all. Even if you've heard of them or had people, other friends tell you about them. But then over time, you get to know them. You begin to understand who they are, who their person, who their character is. And of course, we're sinful human beings, so that is a trial and a challenge that we go through, trying to understand ourselves and trying to understand others, and we disappoint each other. but not so with God. Well, we still must come to know Him, and we continue to know Him more and more and grow in Him. And that's what happens when we have a new relationship with Jesus Christ. As we are awakened and begin a journey of a new awareness, a new understanding of who God is. That's why we study His Scriptures. That's why we pray. That's why we come together and encourage each other and help to shepherd each other, that we would know God more. That we would come to understand Him and walk in Him and trust Him more and more. And John concludes verse 20 here with that truth. He, Jesus, is the true God and is eternal life. That's who Jesus is. Now he closes his book with what, at first glance, I think, seems out of place. But I believe it's a wonderful summary of the book, and especially of this last point here, of the blessings of salvation, a new awareness of God. In our new awareness of God, he again uses this sweet phrase he has for believers that he's writing to. Little children. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Again, at first, that might seem like he's just got a whole new topic here that he's bringing up, and it comes out of nowhere, and maybe John's getting old and getting a little senile, and no. What is idolatry? Idolatry is choosing anything over God. Idolatry is letting our hearts and our affections and our beliefs line up with anything other than God. Whether it's a physical idol, whether it's, you know, money, power, sex, whether it's self-indulgence, entertainment, whether it's indifference to God. Our hearts are captured by something else. And John is reminding us, no. Stay true to your love to God. Reject anything that draws you away from the Lord. Because now, having come to Him in salvation, we have, in this last point here, last blessing, this new awareness of God. That the other things of this world are rubbish. The things that pull us from God do not bless. That's the lie of the evil one. That the things that pull us away from God, He whispers to us that they will feel good and give you pleasure, and they may for a moment, but then it's a death sentence. Not so with God. Because God loves you. Would you come and believe in Jesus Christ and trust Him for your salvation, for your eternal life? Come and believe and grasp who Jesus is, the Son of God, who died for our sins, and who desires to give us eternal life. Again, in summary, from the Gospel of John, same author, chapter 17, verse 3, and this is eternal life. Ready? Here it comes. This is eternal life. This is Jesus praying for us. That they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. That we would be in relationship with God, with Jesus. We would walk with Him and love Him and know Him and know that He is the Son of God. And in so knowing and walking in Him, having a relationship with Him, we would experience, beginning right now, eternal life. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You for salvation. It's not because of anything within us, O Lord. It's not because we were born going to church. It's not because we pray a specific prayer the right way. It's not because we avoid doing really bad things. It's by Your free gift to us by your grace. We come to you in faith, believing in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And in entering into relationship with you and by being born again, O God, all the blessings, all the blessings. Oh, our new life of prayer in you. Oh, our new hating of sin and longing to walk in righteousness with you, O Lord God. Our understanding of the world around us. Our growing closer to you, Father, and knowing you, O Lord God. So I pray, Father, that you would encourage and strengthen your saints. And that you would call all who do not yet know you, Lord God. All who have not yet, for the first time, trusted you as their Lord and Savior. Jesus, would you open their eyes and ears, that even right now, O Lord God, would they call upon you and be saved. Would they call upon you right now, O Lord God, saying, Jesus, I trust you as my Savior. I believe you, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart and save me. Oh, blessed God. It is in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.